From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. In March 2020, when schools started shifting to remote learning, then U.S. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos made the unprecedented decision to let states cancel standardized testing. Every state, including Illinois, took her up on the offer. But that allowance did not extend to 2021. Last year, tests went ahead, and when the results came back, well, let's just say there were concerns about what the data showed and whether it was reliable. With a second round of pandemic-era standardized testing beginning this spring, today we're considering the current state of student assessment in Illinois. State Senator Christina Passione-Zayas is a Democrat from Chicago who's long been involved in advocacy and policymaking around education. She's also the sponsor of the Too Young to Test Act. Senator, welcome to the 21st. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
The Too Young to Test Act was developed in collaboration with the Illinois Families for Public Education, where Cassie Cresswell is director. The organization focuses on education advocacy for Illinois public school families. Cassie, welcome to the 21st to you as well.
So much for having me.
I'd also like to welcome Al Lorenz, a former mathematics teacher who is currently the vice president of the Illinois Education Association, one of the two big labor organizations representing teachers in Illinois. Al, welcome to the 21st to you. And finally, we're joined by Pal Zavitkovsky, who is with the Center for Urban Education Leadership at the University of Illinois Chicago. He is a former teacher and principal whose research focus is Illinois assessment data. Paul, welcome to the 21st. Thank you for being here.
Happy to be here.
And listeners, we want to invite you to join the conversation. We know there are strong feelings out there based on the number of text messages we got when we asked about this. We'll be sharing some of those responses during our conversation today. But you're welcome to join us now at 800-222-9455 to talk about standardized testing in Illinois, especially if you have young students in your life. What has been their experience with standardized testing? We'd love to hear your perspective at 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455, or find us on Twitter at 21st Show, 21ST Show. So, Paul, I want to begin with a very basic question, which is, what is the objective of standardized testing?
Well, that's an interesting question because the objective of testing varies with the people that that are doing it. Right now, a big preoccupation for most people around standardized testing is meeting federal accountability requirements, and that's been in place since the beginning of No Child Left Behind. And those high stakes accountability requirements have created a lot of distortions in the way test results are reported and the way test results are used. That's also led a lot of people to feel like standardized tests really don't have any value at all, which from my point of view isn't really true. It's a lot more about how the tests are reported and how the test information is being used that has created a lot of the problems.
So meeting federal requirements since the No Child Left Behind Act, which I guess the basic purpose of that was to make sure children are not left behind, at least if you take the title of the bill at face value. Let me ask you specifically about the Every Student Succeeds Act, or ESSA. This is a law that requires states to test every student every year beginning in third grade and to separate scores by race, income, English language proficiency, special education status. Paul, can you just talk briefly about how that categorization influences the way the assessment data is used in Illinois?
Well, that part of ESSA is no different than No Child Left Behind, actually. I mean, the intention there really was to make sure that, previous to No Child Left Behind and more recently ESSA, the concern of an awful lot of advocacy groups was that we had a whole bunch of children out there who were invisible, that we weren't really noticing whether there were big learning differences between kids who came from different family circumstances, across race, across social class, and so on. And so the intention of doing that separation was to make those that learning more visible, and in particular to note if there were big differences in the way students were achieving, in order to be able to determine gaps and opportunities that kids may be having that of course we, you know, we don't want to see happen. So there's, you know, there's quite a bit of value, I think, in being able to report information out in different subgroups. Again, the way it's been used, you know, has not been as, I think, has differed a little bit from the way it was originally intended to be used.
I want to bring State Senator Cristina Passiones-Zayas into the conversation now. You are sponsoring this legislation that's called the Too Young to Test Act. Maybe we can just start with a sort of a baseline on this. I mentioned earlier that the federal law requires standardized testing for students grade 3 and above, but I understand the Illinois State Board of Education is now considering optional standardized tests for younger students pre-kindergarten through second grade as part of an overhaul of the state's assessment system. Do you have any insight into why the ISBE is looking to extend that testing down into the grade levels? And are there benefits to subjecting students to testing at that age?
Well, I wouldn't speak for the State Board of Education. I think they can speak for themselves and their intentions behind it. But what I can say that the bill is attempting to do is provide some guardrails. Particularly in the K-2 range, because we know that child development is very fluid, and therefore it kind of calls into question the value and the validity of imposing standardized tests in those particular years, not to mention the stress and the resources that would be dedicated, whether that be time or whether that actually be dollars. And so that's essentially what we're trying to make sure, that whatever the State Board of Education does is they're undertaking, you know, sort of a feedback process about how they may revise their accountability system and align the tests across the grade levels. We just want to make sure that K-2 does not get involved in the accountability system as it relates to the school designations as well as teacher evaluation.
So what would specifically be the guardrails you mentioned in the Too Young to Test Act? Just a blanket ban on testing for students in that age group?
So no, it's standardized tests would not be, and we define standardized tests. We also, but we do allow for developmental and screening purposes, those types of tools, as well as the, you know, there are the federally mandated bilingual education assessments that actually do go down in the younger years that we're not touching, but we want to be able to allow for those. There's also the kindergarten individual development survey, which is an observational tool that kindergarten teachers use at the 40th, by the 40th day of instruction to kind of get a sense of where young children are when they enter school and how to differentiate supports. All of those are allowed. It's just the standardized test that is typically used in third grade and up, that kind of format, that kind of structure, and then the high stakes element to it, that is what we are prohibiting.
And Cassie, I understand your organization, Illinois Families for Public Schools, supports this legislation. Can you talk about why you think this is a good idea, or that standardized testing for the younger grades is a bad idea, however you want to frame that?
I mean, there's kind of two parts. One is that it's just not developmentally appropriate for kids 8 and under, which is what early childhood counts as, to be spending their time doing test prep. You know, we need more play in classrooms. We worked on a bill last year to bring recess to K-5, and that's really what kids at that age need, especially right now after the pandemic, or during, you know, like the ongoing pandemic. The social and the physical and the emotional needs of kids is, you know, paramount, and direct academic instruction and test prep for these kind of tests is just not the right thing for pre-K through second grade. And the second part is that the State Board of Ed, in their proposal for changes to the state testing system, would have optional tests for K through 2. But when you start adding optional tests into a system of required tests that are high stakes, eventually those optional tests become essentially obligatory as well, because there's so much pressure for schools to prepare kids for the later tests, that essentially, you know, it's not really optional, it's de facto required. And so we really want to make sure that that is just not something that's considered for the state testing system here in Illinois, and it's never been anything that the federal government has required. And so we really want to make sure that that is just not on the table as the state testing system is reformed or revised.
Al Lorenz with the Illinois Education Association, I want to bring you into the conversation now. In collaboration with other organizations that represent Illinois teachers, I understand the IEA is urging the Illinois State Board of Education to request a federal waiver for state-mandated standardized tests in 2021. Can you talk about why you felt that the standardized test should have been waived last year?
Oh, absolutely. And a couple of the previous speakers alluded to some of this. First of all of this is being done against the backdrop of COVID-19. So if you're going to worry about learning loss, you're comparing apples to oranges, because the things and achievement that were attained before the pandemic set in, it's a different backdrop. Students are undergoing like a lot of emotional trauma, a lot of mental health challenges. And to try to compare to an environment where the loss of life, the loss of job, et cetera, you know, that COVID produced in every part of the state, it's kind of a non-valid comparison. And so to me, to have an artificial benchmark that is not really comparable to the current situation, it makes it unreliable. And I think that considering right now, and I've heard from folks all around the state, students are coming back, you know, they have mental health needs. In my frame, there's a mental health pandemic right now. The COVID pandemic may be receding, but the impact and the effects of it are ongoing. And so we need to deal with those social and emotional needs that students manifest first before we can concern ourselves with academic achievement. Now, I was a high school math teacher, and I was all about academic achievement with respect to math, but I doubt very seriously if I would look at a test score from a kid that came back whose family had been arrested over the weekend, or there had been a death in the family, because you have to deal with all of those traumatic issues before you get to the academic. Now, once you intervene and deal with those, then you can deal with the academic performance. And I'm sure it will rise because you intervened in those cases. So yes, I think, long story short, I do believe a waiver was the way to go.
And what about for this school year? Has that been considered, or is that just even less likely than it was last year?
I'm not privy to some of those conversations, but I think it's still germane today, because actually things are in some respects a little bit more chaotic now with all the politicization of the masking requirements, the vaccine, and students are arriving at school being screamed at for wearing masks, you know, and we have our members and students caught in the middle of this. And quite frankly, we actually need to recalibrate and realize that if we're going to craft a path forward for these learners, we need to work together. We don't need to be, you know, at one another's throats wondering what should be the course of action. First of all, cases in the courts need to deal with that. We don't have a say over the final outcome. What we need to focus on is the achievement of our kids. And I want to talk about it like this. The whole child needs to be considered, not just the academic side, but you got to consider the fact that the inequity the pandemic has reinforced has surfaced, you know, the disparity in health and economic outcomes. So what that really means to me is that the least resourced students feel the brunt of the pandemic's impact. So I just want to make sure that all things are considered, you know, because this has been a chaotic situation. In addition to the fact that there is a teacher shortage. And so in many cases, or in some cases around the state, our members are covering the classes of others, because A, they either didn't get anyone to apply for that job, or B, the person may be out sick for a while. And, you know, class size matters. So when you want to help a student, if you have a class of a class load of 30, it's going to be a lot harder to get to all 30 of them, if, you know, as if you had a class of, say, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know those are just artificial numbers, but, you know, you can scale it up or down. But it does matter, because the students that need your extra help, you can't individually give it to them if the group is too large that you're dealing with. And even if it's not at the same time, if you maybe had a plan period that now you have to cover someone else's class, it's the load on the educator too. So we need to consider all factors of the system.
Yeah, and we need to take a break on the show. We're going to continue this conversation. You can join us 800-222-9455. More to come after a short break.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.
This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about standardized testing in Illinois, particularly as it relates to the pandemic, as well as an effort in the Illinois legislature to prohibit standardized testing for the youngest students. It's not currently mandated by federal law, but apparently the state is considering extending standardized testing down to kindergarten through second grade. This legislation would prevent that, basically. We're speaking about this with Paul Zavitkovsky, who's with the Center for Urban Education Leadership at the University of Illinois Chicago, State Senator Christina Passione Zayas, who's a Democrat from Chicago. Cassie Cresswell is with the organization Illinois Families for Public Education. And Al Lorenz is a former math teacher and vice president of the Illinois Education Association. 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation. 800-222-9455. And Paul, I want to ask you, what are the consequences that follow from test scores, lower test scores for schools? What happens?
I guess you have to come at that from a couple different vantage points. The most immediate one, I think, is that when scores get publicized, parents tend to rate their children and their schools on the basis of those numbers. So in the worst case, if you have an individual child who, for whatever reason, has scored poorly on a test, there are lots of family people and educators as well who ought to know better, who somehow make a read of that score as something that defines a student's aptitude or defines a student's basic capacity to learn. So at the most immediate level, I think, especially for younger children, it affects all of us, but for younger children in particular, the moment you make that kind of a judgment, you can do some pretty serious damage to the level of confidence that kids are bringing to their school efforts. And we know from, we've known for 40 or 50 years now that those scores tend to vary quite a bit based on the kind of educational opportunities that youngsters have, the quality of educational experiences that they have, and old concepts of fixed intelligence and IQ, really just don't apply in the same way that people thought they did back when I was a younger person just coming into the business. So that's the most immediate problem. I think, there are other consequences as well. When scores are poor, there are schools that get closed, again, depending on the community. There are a range of that idea of high stakes assessment has stakes across the board. And when the numbers are poor, they tend to reflect a lot more on the teachers and the people that are working in those schools and the kids that are in those schools than they do on a range of other factors that might account for a lower score.
All right, I want to go now to the phones at 800-222-9455. We have a call actually from State Representative Sue Scherer is on the line from Central Illinois. Representative Scherer, thank you for calling in.
Well, thanks for having me. I just happened to be driving to the Capitol and was listening to your show, and I'm very passionate about this.
So what is your question or perspective on this topic briefly?
Well, I will.
For listeners who may not be familiar, you're a former teacher, right? So,
yes, I have taught for 35 years and then retired. I taught all different grades from first grade up through teachers going to get their master's degree to be teaching. So that being said, I just feel very passionately about this. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your radio station carrying this, because I want to share with your viewers what the true problem is here, and that is that we senators and representatives are just working so hard and beating our heads against the wall, and we can't seem to stop this. This testing thing is just spiraling out of control. And super groups who like want to run everything, they just won't let us give up on this testing.
And you mean at all grade levels, not just for the youngest students, but you're opposed to testing?
Well, I'm talking about all, yes.
Yeah.
And it's being driven by the federal government. I mean, this goes back to Bush's time. I don't know why we can't see the errors of the ways and change it. But just for a fact for the viewers to know, $228 million being spent on these tests. Now mm-hmm. think about, truthfully, if you're an education major, why do you test? You test so that you can see where there's a weakness, and then you can go back and you can tutor and help in that specific area to try to bring them up. Well, you can't do that because we have this huge teacher shortage and huge class size. And why do we have this? Because all the money is being spent on the test, and then there's no money left to actually hire teachers to teach.
All right. Well, Representative, I want to thank you for calling in and listening to the program and sharing your perspective today. Let's get some response to that from the panel. Senator Christina Passione-Zayas, I wonder if you share Representative Scherer's general opposition to testing.
Yes, I have been very vocal. In the past, I served on the State Board of Education, and I constantly called into question the validity, the value, and the purpose of standardized testing. You have to think about the origins. In many ways, standardized tests were created to gatekeep and to keep certain groups out, and also to privilege a particular bias. And so we have to consider the origins and how, you know, it has evolved and so on and so forth. But there's also a lot of money to be made in test preparation and in test development. Particularly, I raised the concern that, you know, we were going to be voting on a 10-year contract of $143 million. And I had some concerns about that. And I had concerns about the interests of the companies that were creating these particular tests and their connections to other interest groups. I also raised, you know, right now what's happening with the state board in terms of how they're kind of reconsidering alignment and a possibly a different testing structure, there's going to be some overlap in that first contract and whatever the second contract is. And last year, even though the Department of Education did not grant our waiver, we spent $13 million to administer tests that didn't tell us anything we didn't already know, and ultimately spent not only the money, but the resources and the time away from children, away from the very basic needs that the gentleman from IEA so explicitly expressed. And what did we learn? Nothing new. And ultimately, the test company still got paid. So all of those things, I think, make us call into question the concept that I've been really promoting about reimagining our educational system. One of the benefits that the pandemic has provided us is it has revealed a lot of things that many of us have already known. You cannot unsee what you now see. And the tools that we have developed previously did not work for many groups within our schooling system, and therefore are very inappropriate now in this kind of moment of the pandemic and what will be beyond the pandemic. So we need to think about different types of tools that can support the development holistically of our young children, but not at the cost of their confidence, not at the cost of our precious public resources, and not at the cost of child development.
Al Lorenz with the Illinois Education Association. Let me ask you, how just to be the devil's advocate in this conversation, how do we know if schools are not failing children, right? If we are not doing this testing? I think that, you know, the people who push this, I mean, you know, Ted Kennedy worked on the No Child Left Behind Act initially. The Obama administration was behind some of the revisions to that. And, you know, I think his administration at least was a proponent of some of this testing. How, you know, this is aimed at trying to promote equality of educational opportunity, at least at its heart, deep down, some would say. How do you know if schools are well serving children if you're not doing standardized testing?
Well, I guess the first question is, do you really know from a score, right? So these things in my brain are filters, and you want to see academic achievement. But if you want the full picture, you actually need to go into the school building to see what's being done. Because many times students have anxiety about taking tests. They don't even perform as well on the whole because of the stress involved. You know, and in certain countries outside of ours, I'll just say, there's a high student suicide rate because they're so concerned about making it to the top 0.1%. And again, I think you need to take a closer look than just at the score. There's more to it than that. You know, what resources did that particular student have or those students have in that particular site? You know, you got to look at that. The dashboard of what the district has in place. Are there nurses when they're needed? Are there social workers when they're needed? So you got to look at the whole picture here. And I think you can only get a brief snapshot of achievement based on one measure. And it's kind of limited. I think you need to look at the fuller picture.
Cassie Cresswell, I understand your organization, Illinois Families for Public Education, has a campaign, Opt Out, Refusing State Tests. Can you talk about that? And are you, in fact, hearing from parents and educators trying to opt out?
Yeah, we have supported parents and students being able to refuse annual testing for many years. Also, there's a ton of local and district required standardized testing. And so we help parents with both of those. I think, like, as an organization, we really want to make sure that parents know that there are helpful and meaningful ways to know what your child has learned and what they can do. And standardized testing can give you a tiny snippet, but the overuse and the misuse of standardized test scores has become, you know, it's gone so far overboard that at a certain point, you know, your best bet is just to say, no, I'm not going to be complicit in this system anymore. And, you know, we started using test scores to evaluate teachers and administrators in Illinois. Actually during the Obama administration. And, you know, as a parent, I wrote an opt-out letter, like when my daughter was in preschool, saying, I don't think this is okay. Do not use my 3-year-old's test score to evaluate her teacher. There's ways to know how this teacher is doing. And that's, I don't want her test score as part of that. That's just not acceptable. And I think the use of these scores to really you know, damage rather than enlighten our education system is a reason that parents, you know, should say no in some cases. And so we share information every year for what is actually essentially known as testing season, because there is so much testing that's happening. The state says that children, that parents can't opt their children out of state testing, but the kids can refuse, which is also problematic in its own way, especially for young children, for children with anxiety, for children who may be nonverbal and can't really, you know, understand the testing process. So that is something that we've pushed back against in the past as well. There's definitely been, there was a very big opt-out movement about 6 or 7 years ago. It sort of waned a little bit, and part of the changes to from No Child Left Behind to ESSA has helped that, because it did lower some of the stakes attached to the testing, but there's still really just a huge volume of testing that's happening. And, you know, one of the only ways that parents can push back on this in some areas is just to say, no, I'm not going to have my child participate.
Sure. All right. I want to share a couple of quick messages from our listeners. Annie texted us to say standardized tests are a good measure of test-taking abilities and probably predict success on certain type of college tests, but I'd be interested to know if they're predictive of success at college in general, even life in general. Franny also said, in Illinois, I think we test kids too often. Standardized tests in fifth, eighth, and junior year of high school are enough. If a student's going on to higher ed, they can take the ACT or SAT. We should rely more on teacher assessments. Paul, just a couple of minutes left in our conversation. Final thoughts from you. Do you see us at an inflection point in this long-running debate over standardized testing, perhaps brought about by the pandemic?
Well, I hope we are. I guess I'd like to speak just very quickly to one of the points that was raised by one of your listeners.
Sure.
The reality is that the predictive power of standardized tests is quite a bit lower than grade point average, the grade point averages of students and the high schools they attend. So there's a huge amount of variability in terms of the amount of predictive power that those tests have. But in all cases, students' GPA grade point averages, you know, have a higher predictive value. So that's kind of counterintuitive for people, because the sense for some is that, wow, a standardized test should be more reliable than grade point averages. But as it turns out, students' GPAs are far more predictive of later performance in college and college graduation rates than their standardized test scores are. In terms of the inflection,
Sure. Super briefly, go ahead.
In terms of inflection points, what I hope with this current debate about the future of standardized testing in Illinois will help us reveal is that standardized tests simply have no value, no diagnostic value that can inform day-to-day teaching for individual students and classes. There's a lot of marketing going on that suggests that they do. I don't want to say that standardized tests have no value. They do, but they're designed to help see long-term trends over time, not to be able to provide good diagnostic information for individual students and teachers. And I'm afraid we've been sold a bill of goods on that one that I hope we will be able to get past. And that's the inflection point I'm hoping we're in right now.
Paul Zevitkovsky, Al Lorenz, Cassie Cresswell, and Senator Cristina Pasione Zayas, thank you so much for being with us today to talk about this important issue on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that is it for this conversation. We're going to come back after a short break and speak with a vice president at Microsoft about the future of artificial intelligence. Stay with us.